Good morning. This is Rob Knapp. Who's on, please?
Hi, Mindy.
Hey, Rob.
Bridger's on.
Ben Algie's here as well.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Rob.
Hi, guys. You got Eric Tiller and Tommy Grout here in Kalamazoo.
Morning, everybody.
Hey, Tommy. Hey, Eric.
Hello.
Hi, it's Rob Knapp. All right, well, I think we've got a quorum. This is Rob Knapp, and Mary, are you on?
Yeah, I know she's dialing in, so she should be here momentarily.
Okay. Ben, do you want to start it out?
Yeah, I'll kick it off here, Rob. Tommy Grout, I'm the regional wholesaler covering Eric. He's very, very excited. Eric's been a great partner. He's taken Supernova to heart. He has really read the book. He just shared some really awesome news with me. Eric, do you mind sharing that?
No, so I just had my best month in production ever, and excited about that. But then our fiscal year end at Raymond James here closes next Friday, the 20th, and I'm within a stone's throw of making President's Club, which I've never done before. So,
and that's okay. With already cutting almost his household in half, right?
Yeah.
If not over.
Yeah.
So really kind of speaking truly to exactly what your coaching philosophy is. So appreciate you partnering with us on that. And I'll tell you what, with that, I'd love to turn it over to you, Rob, unless you have any questions for us.
No, that's great. I appreciate it. And I appreciate the support from Touchstone and you, Tommy, and the whole team. This is a very exciting idea. And Eric, I look forward to getting back together with you and getting caught up on your experience and time since we worked together. So why don't you bring me up to date and tell me I need to know, some background in terms of numbers now, where you are, total number of accounts, assets, production, just so we get a good starting point. I don't know. I can tell you a little bit about the structure of the program, but I'd rather hear from you right now once I get some updates on you.
Sure. No, Rob, thank you. I just feel honored to be partnering with you, so thank you. Did you get the Word document? I filled out your form with all my kind of metrics and stuff, the pre-planning worksheet.
Okay, I'll dig it out right now.
And I can just hit the high points if you want to. I've got it in front of me here. I can re-email it
all right.
to you.
Yeah, that's great.
I just wanted to announce that I'm on the call. I don't know why it wouldn't let me speak earlier, so I'm here. It's Mary.
Hey, Mary, welcome.
Okay. Sorry about that.
So I'm at 219 households, down from about 457. I got 493 accounts under those 219 households. My percent of clients with a financial plan would be about 95%. I think my satisfaction rating is probably 90%, a 9 out of 10. My assets under management, about 113 million. My average, household is about 517,000, 229,000 per client. My trailing 12 is 916,395. I just crossed over a million for the first time ever last month, and I've still got, this month to book. Where's my time going? I took your advice, Rob, and I actually looked at a week, 3 or 4 days, and I wrote down, where my time was going. So when I was guessing on number six here on page one, I said calls, emails, meeting prep, completing trades, some prospecting. Let's see, number seven, keeping track of my time. I started that. Number eight, other professional developments. I mean, that That's one thing that motivates me. Unfortunately, I failed the CFP twice. I was all in first time, missed it probably by a couple questions, felt I had passed it, and then I probably honestly didn't have my heart in it the second time, and then that's when they changed the test too. They updated it. And I was just trying to do too much, trying to, you know, coach my son's soccer team, have a business, do the CFP, have a life. I was trying to do too much. So I have learned from trying to do too much and cut back. But, you know, number 10, I the whole process of this supernova, my life has improved because my quality of life has improved because I'm not, you know, putting out all these little fires from, you know, sometimes smaller clients. And, you know, I've actually got to fire my high school teacher today. I want to get down to it. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's I put it off from last week, but I want to get down to 200 households. I'm at 221, and I've got to start inching that way. And when it's not fun anymore and people are always a pain and then they're rude to your receptionist, I think that's time. So anyways, I'll shut up now.
Eric, tell me about your team. What does it look like right now?
You're talking to them.
Okay.
So one of my rubs is, you know, I think maybe we're a little overstaffed here. It's April. April, are you on the call? So I don't have my own sales assistant. I have probably about 25% of our operations manager for our office. So April's non-producing branch manager, and then we have an operations manager named Melinda. So Melinda does help me with some of my, you know, new account paperwork. But, you know, if I need to add an ACH or, you know, do a simple rollover form or something, I'm pretty much doing that myself. But I don't have, you know, my own sales assistant at a million in production. So that's a big thing I know that's holding me back, too, from being able to, you know, just be more efficient and prospect more.
Have you had one in recent times and they left, or what's the situation there?
Yeah, I had one maybe halftime, and she didn't work out. She was working for a couple of other advisors, and she had, you know, personal issues and stuff. So it's kind of been to the point where once I got rid of half my households, I didn't squeal for, you know, somebody, a halftime person again. But I think next year, you know, my new fiscal year starts October 1. And now that we're going to be doing all our business planning here as a branch, you know, advisors with our branch manager, April, I'm just going to probably broach that I need somebody, you know.
Yeah, that's a so talk to me about why you want Supernova. Why would you like to have us coach you, and what would you like to get out of it?
I just want to feel like I'm more on top of my portfolios and my accounts, you know, that my clients have entrusted to me. And it, you know, I didn't feel that way last December. You know, you've got the government shut down and Fed's tightening in, you know, late November, early December. And, you know, usually it's RMD, it's the holidays, it's feeling good, and I'm like, holy crap, you know, we're doing this big correction, and I can't get to everybody, and I need to rebalance and, you know, de-risk the portfolios a little bit. And it dawned on me, I got to make a change. And I just felt overwhelmed. And since I've done that, it's helped me grow deeper in current relationships, get into my accounts, do some rebalancing, and not have to be dealing with some of the noise of other clients and some of my small, simple plans. And, you know, Raymond James wants, if it's a fee-based account, we've got to be doing a trade every 12 months, and all the CRM and, you know, all the CYA that we've got to do now. And, you know, I had some simple plans where, you know, I'm getting a check every month from a company, and then there's 10 employees. Raymond James was telling me I've got to call all 10 of those employees every month, even if I'm just buying Growth Fund of America again or Income Fund of America. And I'm like, I can't do this. So that's when April kind of said, hey, I'd like you to look at this coaching program and Supernova and the PAR analysis. And since I punted, you know, I punted probably 5 to 7 million of assets and all these households to a new trainee. You know, and I got some of my time back and day back.
Okay.
As far as discretion goes, sorry to hop in here. Has that come back up to help out with that a little?
No. So, yeah, discretion. There was a workshop in Chicago. We had our regional conference last week, and I was going to attend that, but I didn't end up ended up going in a little bit later, so I didn't. And I don't feel like now at this point I need it.
Okay.
Because I think once you take on discretion, I think that's another level of fiduciary. And, you know, I would say I've never had discretion, so clients feel warmer and fuzzier when you call them and you say, hey, I'm recommending we make this change and here's why. I just wanted to let you know. Are you good with that? You know, I feel I like that. So I've never had discretion, though, so I don't know, you know, what I'm missing maybe.
Yeah. We've got three different tools now for you. Instead of just the Supernova Advisor as a book, we now have the Supernova Multiplier, which will teach you skills regarding acquisition. And we have Supernova Teams. And the Supernova Teams book will be very helpful to you. First, to just learn it, read it, but as a reference tool. So when you need to hire somebody, you can go back to that and read the chapter on hiring. If you need leverage, it'll talk about how do you leverage your practice. So
perfect.
Discretion is one of the tools that we use to leverage time. The most valuable thing you have is not money, it's time. And everything that you do that takes away time limits your ability to perform. I try and teach my anybody I work with, interns, my children, anybody, the name of the game in gathering wealth is leverage in capitalism, using other people's money, using other people's efforts, time, et cetera, to leverage your brain, et cetera. So the way people do $10 million or $5 million of business is that they become very leveraged in terms of owning a business and sharing their intellect, their capabilities, and have other people prosper and perform under their direction. Everybody doing well, everybody prospering, but gathering more assets, more efficient, more effective. So we'll constantly be talking about that concept. So, you know, just preliminary first impressions, things you need to do quick in order to help you. I won't pull any punches. I'll tell you exactly what I think. We'll work hard. We'll work smart. But I won't sugarcoat things. I will try and be diplomatic with you, but if I see a big hole in your operation, I'll tell you right away, and then we'll work on doing it. I don't believe you can do everything instantly, but directionally, we need to know where we're going and why we're going there.
Sure.
Okay. So, you need leverage and you don't have it right now. Okay. So I used to have a guy come to me every year. We'd go to Europe on the master's trip and some different destination. He would always win. He was a young guy. He was new in the business. He was very successful. He was a Navy pilot. I was a Navy pilot. He would find me. He didn't work for me. He would find me at these meetings. I was managing a completely different district. He'd find me and he'd say, okay, I went from 500 to a million, or I went from 500 to 750. What do I do? And I said, hire another sales assistant. And then he'd come the next year and he'd say, what do I do? I said, hire another sales assistant. And then he'd come back and he'd say, what do I do? I said, hire another sales assistant. Okay. So the game in that world at that time was, you know, we didn't have many tools like we do today. It was so dependent on staff that you needed lots of support. Now, with the efficiencies of discretion, with the efficiencies of managed money, with the efficiencies, we can do it with one sales assistant, but we got to have our own. We can't share with somebody else. You got to have that person working exclusively for you. And we do that. However, it takes whatever it takes to get that is what you need to do. If you need to pay for them yourself, you do it. And you need discretion. You need discretion because it's more efficient, it's more effective, your performance will be better because you won't be spending 2 weeks calling people. The last person in is 10 points higher than the first person you called. And when you're getting out, you get out all at once instead of getting out, you know, 2 weeks later with some people. So who do you call first? Who do you call last, et cetera? It's very inefficient. Now, okay. If you want to manage a few accounts on a non-discretionary basis, fine. But for the most part, you either need managed money or you need discretion, because who would manage money as a money manager on an individual basis? Nobody. I mean, that'd be insane. Right, be insane. So you need to do those two things, whatever it takes to get that done. That's got to be a priority that you do immediately for those two things. We'll talk about other ways to leverage, but those are obvious and jump right out and hit me in the face, okay? So go ahead.
You like the touch point of calling clients when you're making a trade. To Rob's point, now you can make the trade, and you know, for your top 50 clients or 100 clients that you want to service very well, after the fact, you can call and say, hey, we made this trade, just want to let you know, you'll see something different.
Or my essay, my own essay that I hire, sends the letter. You know, mail merge, a little brief letter, and then I'm out of it. Perfect.
Right. And in reality, Eric, most people don't care whether, you know, they really don't. You care. You're worried. You're thinking these things. You're worried about this app, this and this and this. And they don't. All they want is you to tell them everything's okay and they're doing all right. They're doing fine. For the few people that want to hear, you can call them. But that's going to be three people. Okay?
Right.
That's not going to be the majority. And what they want is they want a financial plan, and then they want you to help them implement it, and then they want meaningful conversations once a month. They don't want, they don't need to hear that you decided that you know, Microsoft is appreciated enough and you want to buy IBM.
Right.
That's up to you. That's up to you. You know, that they don't have time. They're busy or they don't have the expertise. And you don't need to justify why you're doing it. They hire you. If you don't do a good job, they fire you.
Right.
So just, you know, run the business. You know, you don't ask your surgeon why he takes every step during an operation. First of all, you have to be awake. Second, you'd slow him down. Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, it's everybody understands. We make stuff up, you know, as human beings. We make up stuff. My friend Larry Wilson used to call it the advanced degree from MSU, making stuff up. We make up stuff that that people want to hear this, or they want to hear that, or they're worried about this, or they're this or this. They're not, okay, and they don't need it. Good service. They've got responsibilities. We'll talk about what their responsibilities are. You've got responsibilities. We'll talk about those. But they have very little to do with making a transaction. Okay. So we kind of think of ourselves as getting out of the transactional business mentally and into the business of being a consultant advisor to the client on his life choices. Much more important. So you're thinking about the client and their issues, not about your issues or about your stocks or your whatever. We start thinking about the client, and we focus on the client, and we start helping the client. Supernova is very other-centered, not us-centered. Everything we talk about makes more is harder work for us, but is much better for them. Everything we do puts our practice in a light that is much more favorable to clients, less favorable to FAs, in the sense that, you know, we as human beings are pleasure seekers. We avoid work. We avoid anything that takes us away from things that are easy and fun. But when we deliver something that the clients love, we get rewarded. So it's all part of the massive deferred gratification power. We deliver a lot, and then we receive a lot in return. So we give a financial plan, which takes a lot of work and effort. We update that financial plan. We deliver 1242 to help implement the financial plan. Unlike others, we make sure the plan gets done, dot the I's and cross the T's through our 1242 process. And then we deliver rapid response, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. And no one can compete with that. And when we add the fact that we're going to have an agenda for every call and then an executive summary to completely close the loop so they know exactly where they are, now we're talking about real service. When we talk about financial planning, that's great, but when are we going to update the plan? Well, with Supernova, we're going to update the plan annually, and every 5 years at a minimum, we're going to do a new plan. And we advertise that, and we tell them that. And when we sell Supernova, we don't sell it by talking about performance. What we talk about is we take out the folder, and we show them what's in the folder, and we show them how we're going to contact them. We give them a sample agenda for each call. We show them that ahead of time. We show them where they'll take notes so that they can remember what they want to ask us questions about, and then in our 1242 once a month, they can ask those questions. We show them what an executive summary looks like. No one in the market will compete with that. And you can be talking to a $100 million client, a $10 million client, or a $500,000 client. No one will compete with that. But you can't do it with 200 clients. You can only do it with 100, okay? The average financial advisor has 70 clients. So if you want to have 200 clients, you need to hire another person, or you need to give them away. So you're at 200 or close to 200. You need to, you know, get down to 100. You don't have to do it immediately, but you need to do it.
I'm all in, Rob.
Okay. The reality is it's the 80-20 rule. And, the, you know, 20% of your clients give you 80% of your business, and you get down from 450 to 200, you're still the 80-20 rule. Those 20% are still giving you 80% of your revenues. And then what we do in these first couple weeks is we establish our absolute minimum and our target minimum. And when we used to teach Supernova, it was just one minimum. That's so interesting because I've been coaching a team for about 12 weeks. And just this week, we talked about the minimum again. The absolute minimum, the target minimum, as if we had never talked about it. So maybe I'm not emphasizing it enough, and maybe it's confusing. But the way we do the absolute minimum and the target minimum is math. It's just plain math. And the advantage we have is as you bring in more bigger, better clients and get rid of smaller clients, your minimum goes up. So you're constantly raising your minimum as you are keeping your practice the same size. And that's how you get from $1 million to $5 million to $10 million. You just raise your minimum. You don't increase your work ever, and you can do it with one sales assistant. So theoretically, you can do $10 million with one sales assistant.
Simple.
Which is simple. Simple. Yeah. Simple but not easy. Everybody, you know, I asked the guy from UBS when we started, why do you like Supernova so much? He said, because it's simple but not easy.
Right.
I said,
a lot of clients will say to me, well, why don't you be like Charles Zhang, you know, Charles Zhang in town, it's him, and, you know, you see him one time, and then he's got, you know, 5 to 10 people underneath him. So all the MBA junior partners, and I don't want to manage people. I want to manage my 100 relationships. So.
Right. Yeah, that's a different model. That's being an office manager. You want to be an office manager?
No.
You can make decent money, but it takes a whole nother skill set and it is a pain. And, you know, you talk about carrying home your work. You'll definitely carry home your work with that. So, we love the idea of a simple practice, one person, one sales assistant doing $10 million. It's lovely. So your homework is establish your absolute minimum and your target minimum. Your absolute minimum we established, we used to have just one, and the reason we went to two is because people cheated. Human beings, you know, we always say never lie, cheat, or steal. The reality is from a very early age, you know, people admire us for our imagination and making stuff up and our creativity in terms of the truth. So, you know, human beings, it's hard to justify or understand, but they have a tendency to lie. And it's okay. You know, we all fudge the truth a little. But we want to think of ourselves as an honest, truthful person. So I set this up so that you will be more comfortable with being an honest, truthful person. So the idea is that you should establish an absolute minimum. So all you do is you take your total number, your total production, okay, and divide it by the number of clients that you have, and that gives you your absolute minimum. You never want to bring in a client and that is smaller than your average, or you're going to reduce your average.
So total production divided by households or number of
accounts? That's right. Number of accounts. Well, households.
Yeah.
Households. Counts is different.
Right. Okay. In the total production divided by the households, that gives me an absolute minimum or the average?
Absolute minimum.
Okay.
Okay. So, so if it was 100 clients, you divided a million by 100 clients, that would give you $1 million minimum in terms of assets at 1% or $10,000, right?
Right.
And if you do 200, then it's 500 is your absolute minimum. Okay.
Got it.
Simple. Now, what we want to do, though, is not bring in clients that just meet our minimum, right? We want to bring in clients that are ideal. So when we first establish who is our ideal client, well, our ideal client would represent the top 20% of our practice that gives us 80% of our business. So we want to take the average of that top 20%. Okay, so that would be 40 clients. So the average of those 40 clients is the number you want to give me second. Okay, so that's going to, if 500 is your absolute minimum at this point, your target minimum is going to be, you tell me, but I bet it's around, that was 500,000, right?
Yeah.
$5,000 a business or 500,000. In assets, this would be like 1.5 million, right?
Yeah.
Am I close?
Yeah.
Uncanny.
For sure.
No. Yeah. So you do it exactly and tell me what the exact number is, but I think that's going to be close.
Okay.
Okay.
And you call that number what? So we had the absolute, but then the average of my top 40 households is my what? My kind of my target minimum?
Target minimum. So that's the number that you advertise.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so when you go to a center of influence and they say what's your minimum, you say $1.5 million. Okay.
Wow. Never done that.
Yeah, and here's the way you say it. I have 100 clients, and my lowest client pays me $15,000. So that's my minimum, $1.5
million. Yeah.
Okay, and then he understands. See,
they will
give you whatever you want, and you'll get whatever you focus on. If you focus on $10 million clients, you'll get $10 million. You won't get as many, but you will get them. So people think that I'll never get that. Oh, yeah, you will.
Simple but hard, right?
Simple but hard, right.
Okay.
No. And the reason is when somebody says that CPA comes to you and goes, I know your minimum is $1.5 million or $15,000 in commissions in fees, but I have somebody with $1 million, but they're a high earner and they're really a good guy. Will you take them? And you go, yeah, I will. Because it's from you. I mean, I have to interview them, of course, make sure they're a good fit. But certainly, I'd be happy to talk to them. All right, you see? But if you said I had somebody with 400,000, you'd say, I'm sorry, you know, we need to. I can. And you don't turn them down. You just find somebody else for them. You're always there to help. Remember, you're a networker, so you're always there to help.
Rob, am I hearing you right? So I would take the $1 million if it was a fit after the interview and keep them, or I would move them onto somebody in my office?
No, you'd keep the million because, remember, your absolute minimum is $500,000.
Okay, got it, got it. Thank you.
If you think about it, it's top 100, and if it's one in, one out, whatever that 100th person is going to be,
right. They've
got to theoretically be more than that.
Got it. Thanks.
Okay. So trust me, don't ask any – I mean, don't feel – you can't ask a question. Can imagine these – poor people that I'd worked with for 12 weeks and they were still confused about minimums. So,
right.
Clearly, I'm not explaining it as carefully as I should. Now, here's the good news. All right. We have an audio of this call that you can listen to, which I recommend. We have videos of each. We have an introductory video, which I hope you've had a chance to watch, and then video of the first week. And what I want you to do now is start listening to every week the Supernova Multiplier. Okay? So I want you to listen to it on the way to work and the way home from work. The Supernova Multiplier is my second book. It covers every acquisition strategy that we have, and it will teach you the language of exactly how to use the tools that we have available for you. Now, you have, I always say this, people have talent. You have talent. What you need are skills. You'll have some skills, but you won't have others. And when you don't have skills, you will never try and use new skills. You won't use the skills that I recommend unless you know them backwards and forward, unless you feel comfortable. So what I have to do is I have to raise your confidence. And the only way I can raise your confidence is by you becoming absolutely bored with the ideas that I give you. You know them so well, you're bored with them. I've listened to that 5 times. I know it. Okay, good. Now you'll use it because you're confident you know it. You need to be able to recite what I teach you, not just talk about it. It's like Macbeth. You have to know Macbeth word for word. You need to know these skills with the right words, or it won't work the way it should.
Okay.
So I want you to listen to each chapter once a day for 5 days and then move on to the next chapter. Listen to that once a day for 5 days and then move on to the next chapter and so on.
And Rob, where are these resources located? Where's the library?
This is the Supernova Multiplier. This is an audio book from Amazon. Okay, so the videos are on the website. So you want to watch the videos as a team. So if you have a sales assistant, you want to watch the videos together. If you don't, you got to watch them by yourself. If your manager's involved, April or Melinda, get them to watch the videos too, because they need to know what's going on here.
Okay.
They need to know that you're in the middle of a revolution, right? You're doing a complete makeover of your practice, and they need to understand that this is not a game. This is total immersion. So you're learning a whole new language. So that's it, okay?
It's awesome.
Good. Well, we get better. You know, I've been doing it for 12 years now, over and over. You'd think I'd know it.
I'm getting the best of Rob Knapp right now.
That was pretty good, actually.
He practiced for you, Eric. He practiced up.
I did. I practiced. I've been practicing for years to get to you. Yeah, it's fun. And this is the part, Eric, that's really fun. You represent my laboratory. So I want you to do everything that I tell you. But if you think that there's something that you could do better than what I'm suggesting, I want you to tell me. That's how Supernova has evolved over time. I had a gal that told me, you know what, I do an agenda for every call. And I said, wow, that's amazing, really. And she said, oh, yeah, people love it. And so we tried it, and then we adopted it. And then I had another gal tell me that she did an executive summary for every call. And I said, how do you have time for that? She said, oh, you just get really efficient with it. And we tried it, and the clients loved it. And so we did it.
Yeah.
And that's how Supernova evolved.
Yeah, loyal clients that are in love with us, when you've only got 100, I mean, it's the time thing like you talked about. But then they would never imagine firing us if the service and the performance is there, right?
Right. Performance becomes less of an issue. Price is only an issue in the absence of value. And the same is true of performance. They want to perform to their goals, not to the S&P 500. So whenever they're concerned about the market, ask them to go back to their financial plan and review their goals with them. And you reframe the question. Okay. So we're changing the game, and clients will love it and love you for it, and they will introduce you, but we have to make that easy for them, and that's not their job. We have to make that easy, and we'll teach you how to make that easy for them. Okay?
Okay.
So that's a multiplier. That's how we multiply. It's a waste if we give great service and we don't have our story told in the community. So we have to teach our clients how to tell our story. So theoretically, you have 100 enthusiastically endorsed salespeople out there. We call them ambassadors, telling your story. And that's what we're going to get to. And that's the fun. That's where you get the multiplier. But you have to know the material. Okay? So the leverage is... Now, we have huge leverage. Look at the Touchstone people that are on this call. They all want to help. I mean, it's a miracle. Seriously. When have we ever had anybody that wanted to really help us? They all wanted something from us. Right? They were there... These guys really want to help. They really want this program to work. So they're going to do everything humanly possible to help you be successful.
I know that's true. I had to finally ask Tommy, tell me about your funds. I had to, like, drag it out of him. You sure you're a wholesaler? So I knew that he cared about, you know, my practice,
right,
my clients.
So here's the fun thing. I used to tell my FAs, I'm gonna help you become rich and famous. And they'd say, what do you mean? I'd say, well, you know, most people would like to be rich and famous. They don't admit it all the time, but they'd like it. I said, through your work, you're going to become rich. I am going to help you become famous because I will tell your story. So you're the first of many, we hope, but you're the first. And with the first, you have an opportunity to tell your story. Okay? So it gives you an opportunity to go out into the world, and, you know, they'd say, well, how famous? I say, well, famous within our organization, that's pretty good. We had 14,000 FAs. And those FAs became famous because they did Supernova and did the Masters and did other things, and I'd market them. and tell their story, and they loved it, had the best time they've ever had in their life telling their story. So that's what your opportunity is, because we need to market the process, and, of course, there's always another book coming. So you want to take this very seriously and do it as well as humanly possible, because you will have the opportunity to tell your story. So you want to kind of document everything that you're doing so that you can tell it in the future. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's the fun of all of this. And we all prosper together. Everyone does well when everyone does well. So we're working the team.
My job has been more fun. You know, life has been more fun as I've, you know, shrunk to grow my practice. It is fun again.
And it will become much more fun when you grow. When your business doubles and then doubles again, that's a lot more fun.
Thank you, Rob.
And that's what we want. Okay, Eric, thank you. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Tommy. I appreciate everybody on the call and look forward to our next one.
Yeah, this is great. I'll send a follow-up email, a summary email to everybody with homework and then the audio and the resources as well. Appreciate everybody taking the time.
Okay, thanks a million. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.